getting towards the end of these wonderful magnificences that the Lord has given us to rejoice in together. It's been wonderful, all the glory that we've received in encouragement all these years, but especially as we've gathered in these studies, thinking of verses 1 through 30, all the things. We're coming to the place we know that we're called, justified, glorified. As brother praised God in his prayer, everything working together for it to come forth. Everything. Isn't that glorious? Just the manifestation of the sons of God. Praise the Lord. And I thank God we can praise him together tonight. We know. I love the expectation that he's put in our hearts. Don't you? Hallelujah. We're assured. Hallelujah. And we just stand upon his promise. Isn't that that's a glorious thing. Our expectations are of the Lord. Now, we believe because, as we've seen in this precious chapter, the Holy Ghost was given to truly shed love abroad in our heart, for us to know the love of Christ. And in that love is why and how we believe all these things. Because faith worketh by love. When you know you're loved, you believe. When you know you're loved, you believe that that person's for you. Amen. That's what parents are for. They love their children. Their children know that their parents, a rightful parent, is for you because of that love. Not just because of a title, but because all the things that the parents provide, do, encourage all through the life of a child. How much more so our God? We know that he is for us. We know that he's established all of these things that are so beyond, there's only one explanation for it. For God so loved the world, he gave. And he did give, praise his name. So, we're coming to the place where the Lord sums it up. And I love how the Lord continues to give us assurance. And we need it. Because we're unstable. But he's stable. Amen, he is. See, we stand on the rock that's higher than I. Praise God. That's our stability, is the rock. Praise his name. And we stand on it. Sometimes we move around a little bit. But just be still. Know that he is God. And how wonderful and how that perfect peace becomes so apparent in our lives. But what he does is he assures our faith, and that's the faith that he has given us, the faith of the Son of God, of who the keeper is and who the keeper of the promise is, that it's finished, it's done. And it's the mighty God of gods, it's I am that I am, that is the keeper, the fulfiller, that is everything. And we read that here in Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we say? What shall we then say to these things? To everything that we've received. All these things that we have received all the way through verses 1 through 30. What shall we say to these things? What could we even utter? And here it is. Here is everything. The beauty of this statement. If God be for us, who can be against us? Isn't that just glorious? His foreknowledge that you called and justified, predestinated, and glorified folks. If God be for us, who could be against us? Hallelujah! That is the state of all those in Hebrews 11. That's what they received of God. It finally came to that. With all these things that he's done, with everything that we know in the Word of God, what can we say then? Here's what we can say. If God be for us, who can be against us? Isn't that glorious? Thanks be to God, he brings us to that revelation. Thanks be to God that we've entered in, praise the Lord. And here we're entering into these five, and I love that five, the number of grace. We're coming into the five rhetorical questions that we're going to finish? You know what a rhetorical question is. You already know the answer. You know what that answer is? There ain't nothing. There ain't anything. If God be for us, it's done. If God be for us, get out of the way. Amen? Come on. You know it. And that's how for us he is. In this first one, he makes it known. He backs up all the promises to us because it's all him. If God be for us, who can be against us? That includes anything and anyone. That includes you. We always say, I'm my worst enemy. But yet, if God be for me, who can be against me? Praise the Lord. I can't separate myself. We'll get to this. I can't separate myself from the love of God. I'm his. I'm not my own. This is a temple of the Holy Ghost. My, oh my. I've been bought with a price. The most precious thing there ever could be, the blood of Jesus. Now, he assures us in this verse that he has promised and he will do it. Do you not hear that in that? What shall we say to all those things? From the very beginning, there is therefore now no condemnation to them who are in Christ. Huh? What shall you say to that? If God be for me, who could be against me? You can do that with every single verse. You understand that? We're heirs of God and joint heirs together with Jesus Christ, if so be that we suffer together with him, that we may be glorified together with him. If God be for me, who could be against me? Praise the Lord. That's to everything. That's to everything. Always remember that. It's such a beautiful statement. What shall we then say to these things? To every promise of God. And the reason he says it like that, if God be for us, who can be against us? It's because he's the one that performs it all. He's the one that wills it all. He's the one that in his foreknowledge predestinated it all. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Thank the Lord. Just that absolute assurance of faith in believing the word of God that our lives are predestinated. Our lives have before ordained good works that we should walk therein. That it is. It's strewn out for us. The word of God is the will of God. I thank God in my life. I know that I no longer live. But Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Praise the Lord. So this assurance, brothers and sisters, is that he does promise and he will do it. And nothing can be against us. Because all things work together for my good. Isn't that wonderful? You see how that, well, what shall we say to these things? Well, if all things work together for my good, because I love God, because of the grace of God that's with me, because I'm called according to his purpose, he's for me, who can be against me? Praise the Lord. It's so beautiful. It just continues to weave so perfectly. It's just like Joseph saying, oh, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. He meant it for my good. So all of these things, this is what we'll say then. Yep. He's for us. And see, the reason we know this is because you know what God's brought us into? The knowledge of all grace. And that we have it. And we do. And we have it freely. Praise God. And grace is for us. Do you know grace is for you? Grace was given because God is for you. Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth, Jesus is for you. Oh, yes, he is. He loves you. Oh, he loves you. And grace is for us, and because grace is for us, grace in its power makes the choice. Grace, praise the Lord, being for us, nothing can be against us. Do you stand that full and assured of the grace of God that's with you? I pray you do. You're missing it if you don't. I thank God. I believe the Lord has something for us tonight. Let's just stay with him. Now, grace, in that grace is making my choice. So if grace is making my choice, who can be against me? Grace is the undeserved gift of God. Grace is all the mercy of the Lord. I'm stepping out in grace because I know that he's for me. And because grace, praise God, is for me, I know nothing can be against me. Because God puts up, he establishes, he accomplishes, he performs. So since we are called according to his will and his purpose, nothing can stop his grace from doing what he's purposed in my life. I thank God for that. That's believing. That's not going by what my eyes see. That's by going what my God says. Now, listen to these verses that you know, but that assure us so sweetly, and there's so many more, that we are his workmanship and that he will accomplish everything for us. And I'd like to first go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Jesus, let this be us. Don't let me be a hearer of the word only. Let me be a doer of the will of God. You know what you can do? Believe. That's the active participation with the Lord, is faith. That's how the promises are received. Amen? It's faith. That's the work. Believe God. So here's our sweet Lord telling us, being confident. See, it's alive, isn't it? It's not just be confident. It's not have been confidence. It's being, always, active, alive, fervent, quickened, always, in everything, all things, working together for my good. If he be for me, who could be against me? No matter what I'm in, no matter what I've got myself in. Amen? Come on. And it's beautiful. And you know, sometimes the Lord sends someone to remind you. Sometimes the Lord sends someone to actually get you and shake you. I think I remember a prophet named Nathan. David was getting a little complacent. Oh, the word of the Lord came through that precious brother. And I'm sure Nathan, in some respects, man, I don't want to go here and tell this guy that. Really, Lord? I want to get away, you know that commercial? But the Lord sent him. David, you're the man. What happens when the Lord sends someone to you like that? Do you get offended? Or is the grace of God that's with you, does it break your heart? I want to be the guy to break my heart. I've been around people that the Lord's graced my life with that I've seen. That happened to, and it breaks their heart. And what a testimony. That's when you look up to somebody in faith. Not ones that just walk around acting as if they never need to say they're sorry or apologize. Or think that there's never any way they could do anything wrong because they've arrived beyond in some spiritual gifting that they've exceeded even God's expectations. What a shame. Being confident of this very thing. And I love that. It puts it in such perspective. If there's one thing to be confident, it's about this thing. You know what I'm saying? If there's one thing for us to be really, really, really confident in, this is the one thing we should be confident in. It's so glorious. Because this is the everything, because it is the one thing, and really the only thing, and it is, that really matters. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. What a promise. What a promise. What a glory. And the things that God has caused us to know and to understand and receive, that we've heard for years, but now we know that's mine. I'm assured it's mine. He tells me it's mine. He's given me an ear to hear what the Spirit has been saying all this time on that camel ride. It's finally gotten into here. And all I can do is I lift up my heart unto Him. Do you lift up your heart unto Him? Thank you, Lord. What a glory it is. Now turn on over to 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Oh, what a glory. And this is what is going on tonight. Because, see, it's the same holding fast. It's the same crown that has been encouraged of the Church of Philadelphia that they have to hold fast. And here's the crown. And here is our crown. You know what it is? Sound words. And oh, what a form the sound words give. It's the form of a crown. Hold fast the form of sound words. Don't we cherish them? You holding them tonight with me tonight as you're sitting there? You're just sitting there loving on those sound words. Embracing them fully. In love as those sound words are in love with us. But we hold fast the form of sound words, which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. And that's why we hold fast that. Now what is it? Go on back to verse 12. For that which cause I also suffer for these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. And what is that? It's what we just read in verse 13. Hold fast the form, the crown of sound words. That's what it is. Which thou hast heard of me in faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you commit that to him? Do you know that, again, that and are persuaded that he's able against anything in committing that to him, that he'll perform it? Well, I believe that's the same thing we've been reading tonight from the very beginning. If God be for me, who could be against me? Yes, it is. And this is what it is. He's given you those sound words. He's given you faith and love. He's given you a joy of mercy and gladness in your heart. To know and truly know that whom he foreknew. Oh my. What he foreknew you for. What he predestinated you for. What he called you for. What he justified you for. Oh, and what he glorified you for. And how glorious that is. He glorified you for him. You don't think you were meant to take a throne? Lord of all? That's what he's enjoined us to, honeys. I just thank God. Now, I'd like to tell you, though, where it says, I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed. That word committed, it means deposited. Have you deposited everything? Now, this is the bank account of bank accounts. Go deposit. Oh, yes. This is the deposit you want to make. And the deposit is, brothers and sisters, you deposit your entire life in his grace. I'm deposited completely in his mercy. I thank the Lord for it. Hallelujah. And I thank God that's what he's enjoined us to. By grace, let's rest that we are his good pleasure, that it pleases him, and he will and do his good pleasure in us. Now, let's go on, because he proves why nothing can be against us and assures us in verse 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? That's rhetorical number two. You know the answer to that. He can't help himself. He can't deny himself. And matter of fact, he already told us, I've blessed you with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. So it's the rhetorical question of rhetorical question again. How can he not? How can he not? How can he not? How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? He sure did. We've got it all. And he tells us in the Word of God that all things are ours. All things are for our sake. Do you believe that? Do you believe that you are that special to him? I pray we do. With what he gave in his son, that proved everything. It proved everything. It proved that nothing can be against us. There's no downsetting, uprising, furnace, lion's den, no night in hell. It's all for my good. Hallelujah! I thank God for that. It does matter what you think. It does. It matters what you believe. As thou hast believed, so be it done unto you. That's how much it matters. And by faith, it all is yours. Believe, saints. Pray for me to believe and keep on believing and keep on being confident. Being confident. Right, brethren? That we just remain in that rest and that full assurance. No matter what state I am therein, therewith to be content. Content being confident. Content knowing if God be for us, who can be against us? What shall we say to these things then? Oh, it's just like the most beautiful symphony you've ever heard, isn't it? There's nothing that rings, makes melody in your heart like the promises of God. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I want you to really think about it. God gave us everything and proved it because he gave us Jesus. That the cross made sin for us. Our Savior rose. He ascended. How can he not also freely give us all things?
Hallelujah!
So here we are. We have everything of God's. Everything. What's mine is yours. It's ours. King Ahasuerus had something to say, didn't he? Honey, it's all yours. And since we have everything of God's, no weapon formed against us can prosper. You think? Huh? Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I believe we can sum it up that we have everything, brethren. And thanks be to God, we've won. Do you know that the Word of God tells us the victory's been won? Yeah. Now, let's really hear the Spirit some more. Said, God the Father spared not his only Son, but delivered him up for us. He gave. And in that delivered, it means he gave him treacherously. I want you to think about to the point where Jesus says, Father, why hast thou forsaken me? But the Father had told us earlier that it pleased the Father to bruise him. Oh, yes. But could you imagine the Father hearing his words of agony? Why hast thou forsaken me? They took for us because of love. Now, by giving him completely and freely, we have everything. The Word of God says we do have all things. And we have it freely. And I love the word freely that he puts in there so magnificently, many times in the Word of God, to let us know assuredly it's never earned or merited. And I'm really thankful for that. I'm thankful to know that it was his pleasure to give. I'm thankful to know that it wasn't anything of me. It was all his love. It's his love that called us, that drew us, that continues to draw us, that works in us, that motivates us, that inspires us, that causes us to have hope, that causes us to have faith. It's all the love of Christ. Every single bit of it. I understand more and more why the focal point of the Apostle Paul, honeys, know the love of Christ. It's everything. You know this love? You've got it. You know this love? You'll believe him fully. You know this love? You won't be tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. You know this love? You won't want to hear any other doctrine. Now, in that love, I believe God and I believe we believe him together that we have been blessed with all spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. I know that's done. And I know God doesn't take back a promise. Nope. He's not like man. He's not like man. He's not like us. Because the Father delivered up his Son once and for all, our beloved lover of our soul, Jesus, we come to this verse that we read right here that says that he spared not his own Son but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In that verse, there's a word in the Greek called charizoma. That means to be gracious. In that verse, it's stated two times. It's a double portion of grace. And you read it there in those two words side by side. Freely give. Charizoma. Charizoma. To be gracious. I think how gracious our God is. How much he loved. It's beyond the capacity of my mind. But by his Spirit, and that's what this Holy Ghost in Romans 8 is all about. He gives you enlightened eyes of understanding beyond what you truly stand in amazement of the faith of the Son of God that lives in your life. And you thank Him. I meet Christians every day and I thank God for them. And I thank the ones I was able to witness to and to talk to. And Christ in me wants them to see this. Because I speak of it. And I know that there is a life in them, the same Christ in me, that I can see so admires and loves the Lamb of God in my life. The man that was with me this week, he's such a brilliant man, capable man, and I respect him very much. His capacity of engineering and aeronautics and aviation, it makes you marvel. But as we spoke of the Word of God, and as the Word of God truly, and I give it all to Jesus, the grace of God that's with me, it flows out my belly. And he just looked at me and said, oh, I wish I knew the Word of God like that. I wish I knew the Word of God to be able to understand those verses and to say those things. And I know it's not me, but I'm so thankful it's in me. I am so thankful that it is in me. Now, let's go to rhetorical number 3 to close this up tonight. How's that? Who shall lay anything? We got to read all these 3 together. We can't just pick them out one at a time. Let's go back to 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. It's just like it just rolls and rolls and rolls. And it's rhetorical after rhetorical, and we know the answer to this. Nobody. Nothing. A charge. You can't lay a feather on me. Isn't it glorious? Oh, devil, how much you flee tonight. Hallelujah. Who shall lay anything against? Is that what that means? Who shall lay any bit of condemnation? That's what that means. Who shall accuse the elect of God, the best of its kind, the chosen of God, the excellent of God? Isn't it sad that not every Christian believes this? Because it's right there applied to us all. Take all grace. Take it. Don't let any little bit of leaven come. Yeah, you're the one that will give up that joy. Stand in full joy. There's a joy in here. I thank the Lord. I didn't ever like Mama calling me that. It kind of made me embarrassed, but I'm glad. She called me her joy boy. Now, he gave us all grace freely. And brothers and sisters, it's not something we're waiting for. We have it now. We've got the crown. We've got the spouse. We've got the glory. He gave us everything. Amen. See, and that's a readied wife. That's the one who you just enjoy it with him. You tell him thank you. I don't need my eyes to see it. I don't need my eyes to see. Do you need your eyes to see it? I know they will someday, but it's when I have eyes like unto his own. But he gave us the faith. And faith pleases him. He gave you something far more than just your natural eyes. He gave you his very heart. He gave you his faith to live by. Are you assured of the faith of the Son of God who lives in you? You think? You think that's what brought you here tonight? I know it is. I know I can do all things through Christ. I know I can. I've seen him do it every time. When my natural eyes saw that I was stuck, the faith of the God, Son of God in me said, let's go. When I said my natural eyes were done, faith of the Son of God says, it's only getting better. I've seen him do it over and over and over. I first saw it in here, you know that? It had to witness to me. The Word had to speak these things, show them to me. I had to stand on the shores with Moses. I had to watch the sea part. That it wasn't back then, it was now. I had to huddle up with my brethren in that upper room and know that he sent that fire and it fell upon us. And we all were filled with the Holy Ghost. And we all spoke in other tongues. And I heard the Apostle Paul say, bring me the coat, but especially the parchment. I heard David. I was there. Even though I make my bed in hell, thou art there. And then, I lived those things. Then I became an epistle read of men. Then the manifestation of what the Word would be written upon my life and upon my heart came forth. Now, praise God, I'm enjoying the feasting with him in my garden. I think you know this place, don't you? All right, now, let's close it up. God justified. It's God that he fied it. Fied. Justified. Done. Finished. The judge of judges. I'm hearing a lot about judges in this world. This judge, that judge. There's only one judge. There's only one mandate. And only one mandate that counts. And one mandate that stands. We are justified of God. Listen to this. Made and pronounced righteous by God. You are made and pronounced righteous by God. You gonna lay anything to that, anybody? God forbid I'd ever lay anything on you, elect of God. Made and pronounced righteous by God. His life is your life. Your life is sinless. Your life is perfect, without sin life. You are righteous. You are holy. You are free. You're seated. And you are glorified. And there is no charge to that. And I thank the Lord. I believe we just praise Him. That's what this has been tonight. It's just been a glorious praise from the very beginning. It's no longer being tossed to and fro with winds. We know. And we just thank the Lord together. And we have no doubt, because we are the sons of salvation with eternal glory. I just think, what shall we say then to these things? Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and stand and be dismissed.